Well, welcome to the conversation. This is Andy Mason, and you're listening to Authentic Conversations around the messy intersection of faith, family, and business. And we've got a fun session right now. I don't know if you listened to last session, but we're just talking about how to make decisions when in the midst of crazy things. If you are alive on the planet right now, you're probably aware of a certain virus that is going around. It does have a higher mortality than the flu, but the flu actually takes many more lives than it does. I was just off the phone with a friend of mine in New York, and New York City as many public meetings are closing down. They're working out whether they even close down the subway because of all of the fears around this. I was talking to someone in Washington, D.C., and while it's not crazy like New York, the level of concern is great. Here's what I know is what they're saying in New York, talking to my friend, it's already widespread and far more widespread than is being known. Stopping it is actually ridiculous. It's going to be everywhere. If you're healthy, if you're managing yourself, if you're washing your hands, basic hygiene that they teach kindergartners, wash your hands, and while you're washing your hands, say the ABCs. Don't touch your face without washing your hands. Some of these basic things are really, really common sense. But the fear and the impact of fear and what the media is doing with that is absolutely ridiculous. So why are we even talking about that today? Hope is everything. Hope is seeing a positive future. It's seeing opportunity when others don't. Hope sees, faith acts. Right now, if you're a person of hope, you will be seeing ridiculous opportunities to advance. While everyone else is shuttering up and closing down, there are some crazy opportunities in the stock market. There are some crazy opportunities to look and diversify and expand and even borrow to buy a house, for example, because of the interest rates. Hope sees those opportunities because hope is looking even in the midst of crazy times, whereas fear kills your hope, causes you to navel gaze, and you focus on what could possibly go wrong, and the result is you do nothing. You shutter up, you self-impose curfews, self-impose quarantines, and life becomes miserable. But I want to read you this. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition or to destruction, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. That's Hebrews 10:35-39. I'm not saying that people should be stupid and run around and just be ignorant. I'm saying be wise, be knowledgeable, but advance. Don't shrink back. Look at how you can take opportunities. So this is just a perfect opportunity. I'm actually launching a book called Finding Hope in Crazy Times. I'll post a link to that under here. It's launching in early April 2020. I think I should just hashtag coronavirus and it's going to go like crazy because people need hope because hope, when hope's gone, common sense is being thrown out of the window. So here's the point, is how do you find hope in the middle of crazy times? Well, the book itself, I'm not going to focus on that right now. That's a separate topic. It's 30 devotional length chapters of a story, of a scripture, of an application of prayer and action steps for you. So literally partner you with hearing God and applying that in your daily basis with hope. But practically, what are some practical keys to find hope in the middle of craziness all around me? What do I do to keep my anchor in faith, which is what I'm going to do, and hope in what I'm going to see? What's the expectation? Keep my eyes up and looking around. How do you practically do that? So here's just a handful of things that I do on a daily basis. And when these things come around me, what do I do so that I keep my eyes in hope without sticking my head in the sand? Number one is daily word. I read my word, the Bible. It's ancient text, ancient scripture. It doesn't change. Every 4 years, we'd see an election. Every year, there's some flu outbreak. Every day, there's some media disaster, something going on that just swings you from left to right. But the Word of God has been around for more than 2,000 years. It's an ancient text. There's principles, there's wisdom, there's life. Even if you're not a follower of Jesus, there's so much wisdom in there that keeps you anchored to something that has been for centuries. So that's what I do. I'm looking at what's the scripture I'm reading, what's the observation that comes out of it, what's the application, and what's the prayer. So, for example, I was reading the story of Jesus being crucified and how they divided his garments. And then they said they took his overcoat and it was seamless from top to bottom. So it was so valuable that they didn't divide it. They cast lots and one person got it. So the application for me in that moment was we were looking at what we're doing with heaven and business and the different aspects of that. And the thing that stood out was seamless. No division from top to bottom. Whatever you part you touch, it's the same. So we're working on a membership. If you're a part of heaven and business, you're a part of the whole. Seamless became the focus word for what I was going to do in the day as I'm developing my strategy. That's an example of reading, of listening, of praying, of in communion with God and listening to what He says because it applies to my day-to-day and helps me advance in hope on a daily basis. Number two is, what do you see God doing? What do you hear is happening, as in what is happening from a God perspective? And three, what do you remember? The story is Jesus, when he's fed the 5,000, then he jumps on a boat and the disciples have forgot to bring lunch. And then they get all flustered about, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And Jesus is like, guys, where's your faith gone? Didn't you see what happened? We multiplied, you know, five loaves and to feed 5,000 had 12 basketfuls left over. Didn't you hear it? Didn't you hear what people were saying? I'm full. I've eaten to full. I've all of these things is the provision. I'm hearing these stories of others. And it says, and at least do you not remember? So what's the point? Is the power of story and testimony of God's got me through this part in the past. We've been through this. It seems like every 4 years there is there's an election and there's some disaster, there's some flu outbreak, it's SARS, it's coronavirus, it's pig flu, it's whatever it is. We've been here before. We've been through this before. We're going to get through this as well. I remember this story just last week. I got to pray for an advisory customer. I'm on an advisory call with him. And I said, how are you doing? And he says, I'm feeling terrible. I got the flu this morning. Now this is the flu, not the coronavirus. And he said, but I couldn't take time off. I've got too much work on. So I've been just camped on my couch, drinking lots of water and coffee. Haven't been able to eat much. It's just been absolutely terrible. I feel like I'm a punching bag. I've got pounded and achy all over. That was in the morning. He kind of woke up with this, and it was now 6 p.m. his time. And he said, my temperature's 103.5 Fahrenheit. So I said, well, it's a business call. We're talking strategy. We're talking about his imports. But if you've got a relationship with me, we've got a relationship access to everything. So I said, well, can I pray for you? So we pray and then carry on talking. As we're talking, we get kind of 30 minutes into the conversation. And I said, hey, actually, how are you feeling? And he says, dang, I'm actually feeling amazing. He goes and tests his temperature. He's got one of those little thermometers. And it's 99.5. And he's got, man, this is great. So we carry on conversation. And by the end of the call, so over 1 hour, 60 minutes, his temperature went from 103.5 down to 98.7. What's the point? I'm holding on to that testimony around me of what God can do in the middle of this. I'm washing my hands. I'm coughing into my sleeve. I'm wise about what I'm going to do and not do with travel and my meetings. But I'm serving a God who heals the sick and raises the dead. I will not be afraid in the midst of this. I will advance because that's who my God is. And I'm going to see what happens as a result of this. So what about you? What do you see? What do you hear? What do you remember? If you can't see or hear anything good, at least what do you remember of what God's done in the past? What do you remember of the people? Remember Florence Nightingale and what she did in bringing in health from person to person to person in the middle of disease. She'd be the one. Remember Mother Teresa, who rather than being afraid of leprosy, she would move in and minister to lepers, and so many of them got comfort and help and hope. What will you do in the midst of this situation? So that's number two. Number three, worship. There's this really, really cool story in 2 Chronicles 20 where the Israelites were absolutely outclassed, outnumbered, surrounded by the enemy. It said the enemy was like the sand on the seashore. There is no way. There's so many of them. And they say, what do we do? I don't know what to do. And God gives them the strategy. Send out the musicians. Can you imagine that? Ahead of the Navy SEALs, ahead of the Marines, ahead of the boots and boots on the ground military, you send in a marching band, a worship team, all decked out. I'm thinking that's the dumbest strategy ever, unless it's not. What does worship do? Worship re-centers you on how big God is. The more that you worship, you keep a focus on what is most important. It changes your perspective. When I was praying for my friend who had this flu and we saw this change in 60 minutes, I wasn't full of faith to pray for his well-being. What I did do is started to thank God for who he is, that you're the God who heals the sick and raises the dead. Thank you that you're the God who created me. Thank you that you choose to supply my every breath with oxygen, that it's you who sustain me. You're my very breath. And as I begin to thank and praise, that is what worship is. The atmosphere changes. I align with God and his perspective. And then it's like, oh, there is absolutely no problem in this situation. It makes room for me to advance. So I encourage you, take some time to worship, to spend time remembering who God is in the middle of everything else. And that gives you room to advance. Number four, a wise counsel. So these are keys to find hope in crazy times. What do you do when it's just going crazy all around you? There's so many voices. Some say do this, some say do that. The media says just dig a hole and jump in it and bury yourself. It's like, certainly don't listen to that. But number four is wise counsel. Wisdom is found in the multitude of counselors. So I've got people around me. I've got medical professionals around me. I've got people overseas. And making my decisions, I make some phone calls. I send some emails. I leverage the wise counsel that I have access to. I am not looking for more perception or more thoughts or more opinions. I am looking for facts. If I'm supposed to be in Germany next week, I'm going to call a friend in Germany and say, what's going on? I'm supposed to be in Europe. I've got a friend in London. I spoke to them this morning and said, what's going on in London? I'm talking and seeking wise counsel. People who have been here, they've been around, they've seen the ups and the downs. They've got the body scars to prove it. And they've done this over time. Not someone who's got a 1 year victory, but a 10 year, a 20 year of walking in life. They've got maturity. Those are the people I want to talk to and get their input and wisdom around the decisions that I've made. And that releases hope. Number five, family, team, covenant, friendship. We are in this together. So in order to find hope in crazy times, do not isolate yourself. Stay in connection with people. Even if you cannot face-to-face those people, jump on the phone, call them, share them with a story of what's going on, the good news. Got any good news? Start your conversation with good news because you're setting a foundation of hope. But these are people where iron sharpens iron. It's better a friend nearby than a brother far away. So who can you connect with? Who can you encourage and keep hope alive? Keep planning, keep focusing on the future, because that is what's necessary to keep hope and find hope in crazy times. Number six, hope for today. Keep making decisions. I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know what's going to happen the week after. I don't even know what is going to happen tomorrow, but I know what is going to happen today, and the decisions I make today affect everything. So that's my job, is what will I do today? I cannot control tomorrow, but the decisions that I can do, prioritize that, act on that, and then do it. And finally, number seven, necessary endings. What do you need to stop doing, start doing, or keep doing? In order to find hope in crazy times, I've got to make decisions, and there's some things that you're realizing right now, those are hope killers. If you're jumping on the news media every single day and you're feeding yourself with negativity and fear, it will steal and rob and erode your hope. First, anchor yourself in some of these other things that I've talked to. First, meet with someone positive. First, meet with a wise counselor. First, anchor yourself in ancient text. First, spend time thanking God for who He is before you do anything else, because those are the things that vaccinate you against a virus of hopelessness and disease. They fill you with hope. So I bless your day. Those seven things were anchor in the Word. What do you see God doing? Number two was, what do you hear Him doing? What do you remember? Number three was worship. Number four, wise counsel. Number five, family, team, and covenant. We're in this together. Iron sharpens iron. Don't isolate yourself. Number six was, what decision are you going to make today? Don't look to the future in terms of worrying about that. Make the decision that you need to make today. Act. Do it. Number seven, necessary endings. Make sure that you're making the right things in the right places. What do you need to stop doing, start doing, and keep doing? Because that is the seven things that'll help you find hope in crazy times. If this has been valuable to you, send it to someone else that needs to hear it. And sign up. There's still some place. There's still a few spots to be a part of our book launch team, Finding Hope in Crazy Times. And you'll get a free ebook and audiobook as soon as it gets out. And then there's something that I want from you in exchange, but we'll send that through to you. If that's interesting you, I'm posting the link below on the website. But thank you so much for being part of that, for listening to this, and I bless your week with hope.